0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we edge towards a huge weekend and the beginning of the post-split fixtures. James Forrest signs a new contract at Celtic. Andrew Kavanagh pays tribute to James Tavernier, who won't be signing a new contract at Rangers. And Neil McCann feels the Kilmarnock players are in a good place as the club aim to secure their Premiership survival. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Killian Sheridan and Gordon Dalziel.
Yeah, the excitement goes on, Gordon. We're looking forward to the weekend. Obviously, big breaking news today: James Forrest, another year. I think a lot of Celtic fans will be happy about that. Rangers captain James Tavernier, not another year, he'll be leaving on to pastures new. We just wonder where he'll go, but it's all about the weekend. Not just the top six, the bottom six as well. A lot of good games in there, a lot of exciting games in there, and it's all about getting 3 points.
Do you not feel like Scottish football just constantly looks after you when it comes to storylines? You might think you're in for a quiet midweek. Rangers captain and one of the most talked about players in the last decade leaves, Killian, and Celtic's most decorated player signs a new contract. Just keep us busy.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. Great way to kick off the post-split fixtures. And yeah, what a weekend coming up. Two derbies, the Edinburgh derby, then the Dundee derby before it. So yeah, really looking forward to it.
0141 951 1025. What are you thinking tonight then? The big news today is that James Forrest signs a new deal at Celtic until the end of next season. The club's most decorated player, again, even at this stage in his career, even although all these other wingers have been signed again at the weekend, shown his worth. So was that the right decision, Celtic fans? Does that make sense? Does it just make sense to keep him around, lean on his experience, use him when you need to? Or is there any room to say, at what point are you going to sign more wingers that are definitely ready to come and take the club forward in a positive future direction? Give us all your reaction to that news, please, Celtic fans. 0141 951 1025. As we alluded to, it's been the midweek for contract news. Last night was so busy as people reflected on James Tavernier's announcement that he will not be a Rangers player beyond the end of the season. So if you've any further thoughts there, get them into us. Andrew Kavanagh, I noticed, has posted some communication there paying tribute to the outgoing captain. So get your thoughts. We're going to hear from Callum McGregor. The shortlist for the lower leagues player of the year has been announced as well. So maybe we'll have a wee debate about who'll make the four for the top flight, if you've got any appetite for that, between now and 8 o'clock. And as Gordon alluded to, the bottom half of the table comes into the spotlight as well. Neil McCann's done his press today, because I know we're all obsessed with who's going to finish top, but who's going to finish in that relegation playoff spot? Because it feels that feels like every bit as hard to call, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think there's a few teams there under a lot of pressure. You look at Kilmarnock, Aberdeen, what a massive game that is at the weekend as well. St Mirren, they've got a home game against Livingston. That'll be a draw, knowing Livingston, the way they get about their business. But it's all about trying to, we all agree that Livingston obviously are gone. It's who finishes in that relegation playoff, because if you look at that championship, and congratulations to St Johnstone, but if you look at that championship, that not going to be an easy playoff to keep yourself in the Premier League. So important to get yourself away from that 11th, get into 10, 9 or whatever it may be. But a lot of games and a lot of pressure.
Is that every bit as hard to pick, really? Because you can make a case for them all, can't you, quite
yeah,
easily?
Yeah, definitely. I think like St Mirren seemed to have come on to a bit of a game as well. Aberdeen had a massive result there last weekend or the weekend before. Kilmarnock playing much better than what they used to be. They seem to be a bit buoyant as well. Listening to Neil McCann, and like Gordon saying there about the championship, we've even seen Dunfermline, like the gap between a championship team doing well and showing up to a Premier League team just not really 100% at it is dangerous for Premier League teams. So being in the playoff spot is definitely a dangerous position to be in this season.
It's incredible, the playoff spot, because everyone's looking at, you know, your Aberdeens, for instance, not in great form. Yes, they got a win against a 10-man Hibs, and they've got a big game against Kilmarnock. You're looking at St Mirren will be there, Kilmarnock will be there, people are sort of just taking it for granted that Dundee are safe. They've got a derby at the weekend at Tannadice, so that's massive for them as well. And as I said, there are five games to go. They'll all be desperate. I think three wins would be brilliant for you. If you're down there, it would take you out of that problem situation. But it's getting the three wins.
0141 951 1025. Come on down, put your points to Gordon Dalziel and or Killian Sheridan, whether it is on James Forrest's new contract, James Tavernier's lack of one. Callum McGregor's been speaking today as well. Some very interesting comments from him, saying he wants to stay at Celtic, because I know there was a bit of talk about Saudi and so on before, and clearly the season's very much in the balance for him and all his Celtic teammates, but does believe that their experience in the title race can give them the edge. And he's been speaking about Martin O'Neill as well. So a number of topics covered off there. Celtic fans, Rangers fans, James Tavernier news, massive yesterday. What's happening? 0141 951 1025. Before we go any further, I just really want to know how annoyed you are at the fact that the weather's so good and your hips stopping you from hitting the golf course.
I know.
It's bringing me great delight just to know how frustrated you'll be.
That's not the word. I'm devastated. And then this man sitting to my right comes in and talks about going to Tunbury tomorrow, which really rubs salt into the hip, to be honest with you. But hopefully next week I'm going for a slight injection. And
a slight injection?
Yeah, I'm going for a sort of injection into my hip, and hopefully that will recover everything. And
Hope you weren't keeping your plans tomorrow a secret from anyone, because you've just told told the nation.
Well, I'm not now. No, don't worry.
I'll no mention 2:30 feel.
He's just cancelled. He's been telling people he's getting
doctor's
appointment.
I'm playing horrendously, so
it doesn't matter. You're going to somebody. I'll be sitting watching out the window. I'll be sitting in a garden somewhere enjoying the weather, but hopefully get back to the golf.
You've not got a garden.
I'll find a garden. You know me.
You one of those that sticks your feet out the flat window?
No.
Do you open the windows right up, the doors right up, get the couch pushed up?
I'm one of those that somebody will come in and they'll walk around the back and they'll be going, when did you come here?
In my garden.
In my garden.
Anyway, 01, enough about that. That's enough to terrify anyone out there with that image. 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. So big news today. James Forrest signs a new Celtic contract. What do you make of it, Celtic fans? I don't think anybody's going to come on here necessarily and say, that's terrible, it's rubbish news, I'm really disappointed. Because you all love James Forrest and love the contribution that he has made. But, you know, clearly there is a bit of nuance there. There's a bit of discussion to be had about how long that journey goes on and when that stops, and whether other wingers should be ready to step up and fill the void, because he clearly still is offering something when you look at what happened at the weekend. Let's hear from his captain. He's spoken about it today, Callum McGregor. He's delighted James Forrest has signed on.
Brilliant, massively deserved. He's someone who's been at the club for a long, long time now, knows the fabric of the place, knows how it operates, knows what it takes to be a successful Celtic player, won countless trophies. I think he's obviously sitting first now in terms of successful silverware, so somebody like that is invaluable to your building and your football club. I think you've obviously probably seen the value in that this season more than any other, with a little bit of change and change of managers, etc. So, you know, the one thing you do need at big clubs is continuity, and then especially if those players have been really successful and they know what it takes.
What do you think, Celtic fans? Give us all your reaction, please. 0141 951 1025. Gordon Dalziel, yours first.
I'm not surprised, especially after the weekend. Martin O'Neill came out and it was the first thing he was talking about, you know, extending James Forrest's contract to another year. Even though that Martin will probably not be the manager. So it was high praise from him. He was excellent when he came on at the weekend. He made such a big difference. Look, let's not be kidded here. He's been brilliant for the club, and as Cal McGregor said, they're probably getting the most medals out of anybody in the history of Celtic. And he's been there such a long, long time. But if Celtic had went about their recruitment a little bit better, then the big question mark, would Celtic still be offering someone like James Forrest another season? But they've decided that that's the way they want to go, and I think he's brilliant for sale. I still think that the reason they've offered him that is because, simply, I don't think it's sentiment. I think it's because they look at what he can do coming off the bench and still produce something.
I think they just know that he's a safe option to have there, and given some of the gambles that they've had in the transfer window since probably the summertime, especially, bringing in guys, and we're struggling to count how many games they've played, like Balakwisha and players like that.
Struggling to get on the match day squad, actually, really, when you think about
it. Yeah, they come in for a few games and then they just disappear. We never hear about them or see them. And I think James Forrest just offers that kind of safety net of, right, if all else fails, we know we still have
a good player here
who knows what we're going to get. He'll deliver, he'll come in, impact games, but I don't think they can be reliant on him.
Let's go to the phones and get some reaction. You guys can bounce off. Jamie is first through as a Celtic fan. What do you make of that news today, Jamie?
Hey, how you doing, guys? You all right?
Yeah, good, thank you.
I think it's really good, to be honest. To be honest, guys, it's well deserved. And just like I was saying to you, the producer there, to be fair, I'm 46, 47 years old this year. And it's been an absolute privilege to watch James Forrest and Callum McGregor, as well, to be fair, both coming through the ranks and just watching them potentially finish their career at the club. I mean, it's amazing when you talk to like the older generation, like they've seen guys like Jinky Johnson, looking all the types of players. Obviously, I'm too young to witness to have seen these guys playing. I'd only seen them playing on video like that. So to actually witness it now, I think it's an absolute privilege. And to be fair, when you also look at the fact that there is obviously young players coming through, but are we actually going to see the likes of James Forrest and Tal McGregor again? You know, and I just think Celtic fans should just lap this up now. And James has been phenomenal, popping up at different occasions this season in particular where they've needed him. I just think it's brilliant and it's well deserved.
You think he's still got a lot to offer on the pitch, Jamie? I mean, it's recency bias is good, I suppose, because he had a big impact at the weekend. Can he still do that next season?
I think to be fair, I think he's probably got both in terms of an impact on the pitch and a massive impact within the dressing room. So I think that combination alone sets him above everybody else. And think about it as well. It's astonishing the amount of wingers that have come and gone. James is still there.
I think that's a big issue here. I'm delighted for James Forrest, right? Because he's been brilliant for Celtic, won all those trophies, won all the medals, everything about him. You never hear about him outside. He never lets a club down personally as well. He goes in there, he must be a dream to work with. But let's not be kidded here, right? You're looking at Celtic's transfer business of wingers. They've got three wingers that we hardly see. Tonekte was on at the weekend there, got subbed. I don't think he's got any chance of starting this weekend. So they've got three wingers there that they've paid a lot of money for. They've got Yang, they've got Maeda. So right away there's five. Now, if they five wingers were successful, I don't know if Celtic would be offering James Forrest another year in his contract. If I'm honest with you, and that's nothing against James Forrest. It's just because they've went down that road. And the one thing James Forrest has done, and to be fair to him, is every time he gets the opportunity, he goes out there and he'll produce something. But I get back to it. If Celtic had done that recruitment, spent all the millions and these wingers, and Jota was fit, there's another one. Jota was fit. I don't know if we'd be looking at James Forrest getting another year. I'm delighted for him. Celtic fans are delighted for him. But I think he benefits from bad recruitment.
Is that fair? Are you allowed to say that, Killian, without detracting anything from how good he's been and the fact that he can still
I don't think that's anything to do with James Forrest. He just goes about his business, good professional. What I like about him as a winger now, he's direct. He'll go and he'll take on fullbacks, he'll get crosses in, and he's actually, I think that's the difference. When he comes on, he's making differences because he's actually being direct. And I think because he's been there so long, he knows what it's all about. He's not afraid to go and make mistakes, mm-hmm. take players on, do something. I kind of think that he's kind of suffering from the whole argument around recruitment. And then that's almost like judging his ability or what he brings to the team. It's, I think you just have to judge it off what he's done this season. Anytime he's come on, he has changed games in terms of, like, sometimes he'll just give it a spark and you know he's going to be safe. He's there. He's not going to kick up fuss if he's not starting. I think he knows his role. He knows his position. And again, coming into the time of the season like this is when you'll see, like, his experience, him and Callum McGregor having that kind of title push experience.
Interesting to see though, Jamie, what that role looks like next season. If, as Gordon says, let's say Celtic do sign two wingers in the summer who are good and really do come in and impact the team, and then, you know, Yang and Tonetke, I don't know if they're still there, do they become the backup, and where does that leave James Forrest? You definitely think that he'll still continue to sort of play a decent enough role?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Gordon is absolutely, I'm not going to 100%, but he's on that. I do kind of agree with a lot of what he's saying. Where it does feel unfair is the bad recruitment, and it kind of makes James, we're still using James. I don't see it that way. I see it as he's a good winger and he's showing Tonetke up more times than not in this season. Now, going forward, if the recruitment's good, James can still have a big impact like he's having this season. He's not starting much, but he's coming on and making an impact. Just because you've got better wingers, or if you do get better wingers, it doesn't mean to say you can't do that next season.
Jamie, would you do the same with Iheanacho? Would you give him another season?
That's a good question. Yes, I would. He's showing that he's getting back to full fitness, and he's also banging the goals in and out. So as long as you've got a striker that's fit and scoring goals, why would you take him out of the team?
Yeah, but that's your big problem, Jamie, isn't it? You mentioned the word fit. You know, he's coming out and saying he's 100% fit, and you've got the manager coming out after the semi-final and saying, well, not in my opinion. So, yeah, I think he's talented. Me, personally, I wouldn't.
My thing is, though, he's doing exactly what James Forrest is doing, if not more. I feel like he's coming off and affecting, he's winning games.
Yeah, I think that obviously, and we're counting the weekend as well, the weekend had made a massive impact to two of them. Listen, I'm not by any chance having a go at James Forrest. I think James Forrest has been brilliant, terrific player. In fact, he was in that good a form that his call up to Scotland when it was a surprise. Okay, he didn't get any game at all, but he was absolutely brilliant that season. All I'm saying is that he's benefited, in my opinion, the fact that, and it's not James Forrest's fault, that if they three wingers that he'd brought in and paid money for, if Jota had been fit, Yang's there, Maeda's there, that's six wingers before you count James Forrest. So if they'd all hit the ground running, you might be looking at a different situation today.
Thank you, Jamie. What did the rest of you think out there? 01419511025. Perfect time to call if you can, and we'll do our very best to get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel is here alongside Killian Sheridan, both desperate for your calls. So get in touch like Scott in Barmullock has done. How are you, Scott?
Good evening, guys. Yeah, sun's shining. Everybody's obviously in a better mood when the sun's
exactly.
out, I suppose. Yeah,
quite right.
Yeah. I was down the Ayrshire coast today doing delivery, so it was lovely down there.
Window down.
Well.
You get one of those tans where you hang one arm out the window.
Nah, I still have my big jumper on, unfortunately, but hey ho. I'm not a great guy for having bare arms. So don't ask me why. I have a phobia.
A phobia of having bare arms. Uh-huh. I can't let that go.
What do you do when you go abroad? Put a couple of socks up them.
No, I just mean like getting your arm cut if you're moving stuff about, so it's got pallets and that, so it can be.
It's a health and safety concern. I like it. He's serious about his job. Anyway, Scott, I do not know how we ended up there. What are you thinking about James Forrest?
Right. Now, I am not the biggest James Forrest fan. I've been on this show before. I attended his testimonial, I think it was about 40,000 that night. 30,000 people didn't attend his testimonial, so maybe I'm not the only one, but I'm concerned that, first and foremost, who gave him the contract? Because we've not got a manager in place just now. If the new manager comes in and decides James isn't who he wants, we've got a player that's going to be earning, I don't know, the guts of it, probably 20 grand a week, not getting game time. My second problem with it is his recent form, and he's not hit double figures since the season 2019-2020. Not hit double figures. In these seasons, his goals have been 4-4-5-7-1-1. That's his goal return. Now, James Forrest, yeah, he'll create some chances, but I guarantee his stats for even his assists are very poor. And my problem is, with the young boys in the squad, the boy Turley, who's a decent player, this is going to now have a, you're going to now have a player on the bench that potentially is not going to offer nothing. That's my problem with that. As I said, I would say James's biggest fan, but his last five seasons have been nothing short of ridiculous stat-wise.
I think a big factor in who get, and Scott makes a good point, you know, because Martin O'Neill's not got to be the manager next year, apparently. There's got to be a change, obviously, in the full structure of the club, which is needed. Who gave James Forrest the contract? I think it's, well, you just need to listen to Martin O'Neill at the weekend. All of a sudden, Martin O'Neill came out, done an interview, and was talking about, I'm going to advise the board to give James Forrest an extension to his contract. 3-4 days later, James Forrest has got another year. Where I will say that I've not got a problem with it, because I know what Scott's talking about wages-wise. I think that contract will be based on things like appearance money and, you know, stuff like that. So I don't think he'll be a big hitter anymore. I think James will know that. And it's the fact that he's willing to stay at Celtic because he loves the club that much and he's been there for so many years, that he's probably accepted that. And I think that's what's happened here. And I think a lot of Celtic fans will be delighted with the situation. But I totally take on board what Scott's trying to say.
It's a good point from Scott Killian, purely because it almost lives separately from, before you even get to, is this a good decision? Is it a bad decision? Just who makes it? Not a criticism, just intriguing. That is Martin O'Neill deciding who gets contracts for next season? Does Sean Maloney have an input? Is, you know, genuinely, what's the structure there? What is the decision making process look like?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question from Scott. I don't think, again, I go back to, I just think it's a safe signing. It's a safe decision. I don't think, like Gordon's saying, I don't think the money he's on is going to be, I don't think it's going to be a factor where a new manager comes in and looks at the squad of players and then decides, no, James Forrest, his wage is stopping me from signing a winger that I want. I don't think that's too much of an issue. And the other thing that can be quite undervalued is just kind of like just the presence around the place in terms of training, just around like small things that you don't really see. Mm-hmm. But if that kind of stuff is bad, it has a much bigger effect.
Just like than, keep the than standards going, good. That
yeah,
sort of
yeah.
thing.
So like training, like little things like the day after a game, just keeping that training where it's subs and guys who aren't involved, where guys can be annoyed and fed up and they're just kind of moping around, or training isn't as intense. So just like stuff like that can be invaluable to at clubs like Celtic where he knows what's needed, what's required. And again, I just think it's quite an easy decision to, I don't think people would have been objecting it too much.
What do you think, Scott? Is that not a fair point from Killian? It's kind of low risk.
No, I probably get why he's been offered the contract, because there is going to be I think there's going to be a massive turnover in players, and you still want players within the club that have Celtic at heart. You like Sir Callum, Tony Ralston and James Forrest, and I totally get that. My biggest problem is, what is he going to contribute? He's contributed 2 goals in 2 seasons. That's not where we should be. Now, there's strikers, centre forwards getting slagged off that are loan players for their contribution of nothing. James came on in the semi-final, and yes, he played a good part. But I'd like to see somebody come back and tell me, give me 5 other games that he's made the difference in the games then, if he's that much a game changer. Because I can't remember, and I go every week.
Do you know what's interesting, Gordon, when you're talking about that contribution in stats? naturally, when I knew we speaking about this, I'll have a look. How many appearances has he made this season? I was amazed to see that it was 36. I don't know what I thought it was going to be, but I thought it was going to be a lot lower than 36 appearances. But then, of course, appearances
off the bench
can be, you know, boil it down. How many starts? It is two league starts.
Yeah.
So there's a balance to be struck there between those saying you know, definitely still got something to offer, and I still think it's fair for Scott to maybe point that out. So two league starts. Let's say pick one of them, Balakwisha or Mvuka. Let's say they are even a wee bit better than they have been. Does the two league starts become zero league starts? Because that's not a big gap. So you can kind of see where Scott's coming from.
That's why I made the point that James Forrest, no fault of his own, has benefited for the bad recruitment from Celtic, because they have brought in wingers, and if the wingers had been up to scratch what Celtic wanted, I don't think we're seeing James Forrest. I don't think we're having this discussion about James Forrest having a new contract. I think Martin O'Neill's looked at the situation. He must love working with the guy, because everybody talks about how good a professional he is. He knows he's Celtic through and through. That'll go for him as well. It won't be big money. I don't think he'll be one of the big hitters, right? And I think Kellen makes a great point that a manager will not walk in and think, why did we give him a year's contract to stop me signing a quality player that I want, right? And he'll be brilliant to have around the place to set the standards and everything like that. But I just keep going back to it, and I think that's what Scott's trying to say. If these guys had come in, and for instance, Jota was still fit as well, right, and they had options and they had six wingers there that were all going for places, I don't know if James Forrest is getting a year of extension.
Thank you to Scott. What about Chris on the other line? He's the most decorated player in the club's history. Chris, are you happy to see him stay?
I think sentiment has played a role here in giving James his contract. I think Gordon makes a lot of good points. If other guys had turned up and Balakwisha hadn't been an experiment going badly wrong, if Mvuka wasn't a competition winner that ended up on a Celtic football field, then maybe it would have been different. But I think you've also got to respect the role that James has played in the club over the years. I think James has been a wonderful servant, and there's been a number of players in football like James who have maybe got years added to their contract, possibly not based on stats, which the last guy was talking about, but based on other things that he brings. But the James Forrest decision is a kind of microcosm of where Celtic are at the moment. They are whoever, somebody somewhere is making decisions about players, whereas there's bigger decisions have to be made about other players in the team rather than James Forrest. Extending James's contract's pretty good. It's pretty easy. You get social media hits. They couldn't have been quicker today releasing it on Twitter. But my conversation has to be about Callum McGregor, because Callum's pushing on in years. He's again has been a wonderful servant. I'm not so sure in 4 months, 5 months' time if Callum is still going to be the heartbeat of the team. So if we were a well-run football club, then we should be thinking about Callum McGregor rather than spending all our energies thinking about James Forrest. This season has just been, in terms of planning, there has been no planning, there has been no plan. It's been a joke from start to finish. And as for Martin O'Neill, Martin's come in and done an absolute sterling job, absolutely fantastic. Some questionable decisions, but you're allowed to question people in authority. But what role is Martin going to play next year? For me, yes, he can go upstairs, but no, he shouldn't be a director of football. I don't think he's at that stage. Yes, he could be an advisor, but who on earth is making these decisions?
And the thing, I don't have an answer to that. You know, that I'd love to offer some sort of insight. Celtic do keep things quite close to their chest, which is their prerogative. But Michael Nicholson's clearly the CEO. Yeah. He runs the club on a day-to-day basis. I know they did bolster their recruitment staff.
But
I don't know much more than that, I need to
be
honest.
Do you not look at the interview after the weekend, and when Martin, he pushed on it, talking about James Forrest, pushed on the fact that I'm going to recommend that James Forrest gets another deal, another year in his contract. 3-4 days later, Celtic announced that James Forrest has signed a new one-year deal. So the answer to that question for me is quite simple. I think Martin O'Neill's went to the board and said, look, you value my opinion. I'm here. I know that I might not stay here after the season's finished, but I would like you to give James Forrest a new deal. I think Martin O'Neill's pushed us over the line. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind, especially after coming out and saying it.
So, Gordon, when I spoke to Chris, the producer, I wanted to come on and agree with your point, but I disagree with this, because if the board respected Martin O'Neill's opinion, we wouldn't have signed some of the guys that we signed in January, because none of them are Martin O'Neill footballers. What I think has happened is that somewhere in the club, somebody's decided that James Forrest is a cheap option. They've mentioned it to Martin O'Neill. Martin O'Neill's went, aye, that's not a bad idea. Because what we cannot see by is Martin O'Neill has been placed in this role by Dermot Desmond. Martin O'Neill's Dermot Desmond's guy. So he's doing his Dermot Desmond's telling him to do. So let's not...
So you don't think Martin O'Neill had anything to do with James Forrest signing a year's contract, an extension, especially after the semi-final where he's watched Celtic from 2-0 up cruising to 2-2 and everybody's thinking, I think St Mirren are going to go and win this. You seen his face at the end, he was relieved to get into the final. He's come out and his first couple of statements was about James Forrest, and he said it, I'm going to recommend that James Forrest gets a year extension. You don't think Martin O'Neill's got anything to do with that?
I think Martin O'Neill's opinion holds some sway. What I'm saying is he's not the ultimate decision maker.
No, I agree with that.
I think that decision is already in the flux of being made, and Martin O'Neill has anointed it by saying, I agree with that, and this is the time to say it.
See, because this summer is, I think, undeniably going to be a transitional one, and that might be putting it lightly, Chris. Does that come into it? Do you think you need some sort of continuity there, you know, oversee that process or be a part of that process? Guys like James Forrest, I mean, you mentioned Callum McGregor, in a summer where you might need to rip up a lot, is it worth having guys like that around?
100%. You've got to keep guys that are winners, and that's why I'm hoping that we might still go over the line. I'm not convinced that we will, but because we've got serial winners in the squad, because the rest, if I can call them that, they should be on their way out. They should be looking for other employers. But you've got to keep some people about. I mean, Scott Bain hung about for 6 or 7 years, did a sterling job for Falkirk, but he wasn't there because of his ability. I mean, he ended up number 3, but he was obviously adding something behind the scenes. So you've got to have guys like that. And for me, James Forrest, he's going to be that guy. But equally, he's still got a wee tune out of him, right? He's maybe only scored 1 or 2 goals, but in big matches, he can come on and do what he done against St Mirren.
Good man. Thank you very much to Chris in Kings Park. Before we go any further, as much as I love the football discussion, this might be the most important thing we discuss tonight. Let's do it. Clyde 1. I mean, certainly for the person that wins it, it'll be the most important thing they hear tonight, because if you've not got round to it yet, £780,000 up for grabs, our biggest cash prize of the year so far. Get yourself in the draw. Text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll find all the rules for this network competition. Or you can call 03 434 269 340, and the calls are charged at your standard rate. It is over 18s only, and you have to be quick now. Lines close 5 p.m. tomorrow. £780,000. Good luck. How good would it be if you just picked up the phone right now, sent off the text, and then got the call back tomorrow? Good luck out there. Text YES to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Killian Sheridan and Gordon Dieler here. It's 0141 951 1025. Give us your calls, please. Scott has done just that. He's in Bells Hill. What's your point tonight, Scott?
My point is, James Tavernier is one of the best captains above all, and we thank him for his appreciation to the club. He's the best free kick taker in history.
What, like the I world on?
No, it's obviously between Celtic and Rangers. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And then my other point is, I just thank James Tavernier for his time.
Yeah, it's been about, it's a funny one, Gordon, because it's like the debate we've had, the depth of the mm-hmm. debate in the last couple of nights has been quite interesting, really, to see the number of different opinions out there in James Tavernier. Didn't it actually start when you were in on Tuesday?
Tuesday night, yeah.
I feel like we, I'm definitely overplaying our part here, but we had this big debate the next day. The timing was perfect, you know, where he then comes out and announces that. What did you think on Tuesday did it surprise you on the back of our discussion on Tuesday night?
Yeah, I was in the camp of if the deal was right and the two parties were happy with it, I'd have kept James Tavernier all day long. I think he offers so much. He's still fit. He's 34. Remember, I says he's 35 on his birthday, which works out well. And I think he could still contribute. There's no doubt about that. His delivery, his stats, everything about him. And then we started having calls that would back that up. And then we had calls that was negative, saying, well, he's cost more goals than he's scored and assists and whatever. And they talk about his penalties. But what James Tavernier has given Rangers, me personally, if I was looking forward and the deal could have been done between the two parties, I would have kept Tavernier.
I think I'll remember forever the caller who was adamant that he had cost Rangers over 300 goals.
Yeah.
It's really been annoying me for the last few days. I can't quite, people are like mentioning it to me regularly now, like throughout wherever I go throughout the day. Anyway, what did you make of the way it sort of happened? Because it was the next day, the way it came out, he put it on his Instagram and so on. What's your like reading of that?
I don't know if Rangers would be happy with that. I thought it could have been a statement coming out from Rangers. And
so you think he just maybe did that off his own?
I think he has done it, yeah. Because I was looking for a statement from Rangers to say, look, you know, we've sat down, we've discussed this, James has been absolutely brilliant, but James Tavernier decided to put it on Twitter. Maybe that's just a done thing now. Instagram. I think you've got to respect your employers. I think you've got to respect your club, and I think they've got to respect you. And I think it's got to be done in a proper way, because this guy has made over 500 odd appearances. He's scored over 150 goals or whatever. His assists is incredible, and he's captained this team for how many years, whatever it may be. I was a bit surprised that it had just come out. I thought there would have been a joint sort of a statement between club and player together, which I think would have been the right thing.
What have you made of it, Killian? Like, he's been one of the most debated players since the day he walked through the door, because Scott's given you the free kicks and the goals and the numbers. We're talking longevity, and then everybody knows the other stuff about captaincy and defensive skill, all that stuff. What have you made of it?
Yeah, I think it always comes down to, does his attacking, what he gives attacking wise, outweigh his defensive frailties, which kind of is the thing that always he gets beaten with. I don't really buy into the whole penalty free kick thing. I think generally someone else is going to be able to take a penalty and score a penalty 9 times out of 10. I think that's probably clouded a lot of goal stats that he has. Look, he still has to step up and take them, I get that, but I think he's, if it's true the way it's all come out, I think he's annoyed that maybe he hasn't been offered what he potentially wanted to be offered, if he's come out and announced it himself.
It's incredible with the sports, because you're talking about Tuesday, and I go back to one of the callers come on and said, look, we've got 5 games to go. If we win the league and Tavernier plays a good part in it, give him an extension. If we don't win the league, then he's off. Let him go. Like, everything's on James Tavernier.
But do you know what? Now knowing what we know and looking at the debate, that now that it's coming to an end, if you like, that, to use the previous caller's phrase, that's a microcosm of the James Tavernier debate. People have constantly linked the team's lack of success with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got that bit
of armband.
The armband round him.
Yeah. I think that's the unfair bit about James Tavernier, right? Because if you're a Rangers fan, of course you're going to go back to the greats, the captains, the Richard Goffs, the Barry Fergusons, people like that. But remember, in all those years, that Richard Goff, who didn't play great every single week, He had guys like Paul Gascoigne. He had McCoyston Hatley up front. He had, you know what I mean? He had Loudrop in the wing. And Barry Ferguson was the same. The players and the quality that Barry Ferguson had. I just think sometimes Tavernier gets tarred with this brush about this. He's never a Rangers captain. Tavernier has been, stats-wise, has been brilliant for Rangers.
What about Stuart on the other line? Thank you to Scott and Bells Hill. Stuart, what's your take on it?
Yes, my take about James Tavernier, I think the board should give him a testimonial. I'd be quite shocked if they don't.
Yeah, that's another issue that's been kind of bubbling away, hasn't it? Because he's been here, this is his 11th year. I don't really know where that's at. I don't know the politics behind it. Kind of going back to something you said, that can be it's maybe a tough sell, you know, when you get to the end of last season again and Celtic have won the league and Rangers haven't, you know, won what they would like to win. And, you know, he's been, rightly or wrongly, he's been sort of divisive. No, I don't know if that's quite the right word, but debated, I think, was better earlier amongst the Rangers fans. Do you think now that he has announced he's leaving that there'll be more of a positive sort of spin?
I really hope so, because the one thing I will say, whether you're a fan of James Tavernier or not, you pay your money, you're entitled to have your opinion. I think he deserves that bit of respect, because I think he's gave Rangers every bit of respect. You know what I mean? He's went out there, I think he tries his best. He's very seldom injured. The amount of games, the amount of goals, assists he's achieved, everything about his career at Rangers. I think he's a guy that does play for the jersey for me. You hear he's a good professional round about the club as well. So I think he deserves that send-off. And look, I hope the Rangers fans give him that, whether testimony or not. I don't really bother with that, because at the end of the year, Tavernier's been there for a right few years and he's probably one of the top earners, so he'll be well looked after from Rangers.
Testimonials now are a bit different, aren't they? Like, it used to be a financial thing, didn't it?
Yeah,
I know it's a recognition, but you get that, you get the money, you get the send off. It helps you go on with the rest of your
life,
whatever. Actually, Andrew Kavanagh issued a statement this evening to just say, just really on behalf of everyone, immense thanks and gratitude for a phenomenal service, countless achievements. It's a rarity to stay at one club for so long, play such a key role. Departs as a club legend, outstanding contribution never forgotten. As James referred to in his departure announcement, he hasn't left yet. 5 games, everything left to play for. Is he a legend, Stuart? It's a word that's used a lot.
Yes, definitely a legend. Under my eyes, definitely. I've watched him through all the times. He's been through some boards, he's been through bad times, and he brought him back to where they are, back to up at the top of the league at one point there a couple of weeks ago. So, as you said, you never know if Rangers do go and win the league. Things could change, but you don't know. It can just approach them again. You don't know. Things could happen.
People have got their own definition of what that means. Is he a Rangers legend?
Yeah, for me, anybody that gets in the Hall of Fame at Rangers or Celtic are for me, are class.
So you don't need to have one more trophies than he has?
No, because James Tavernier was part of a team. James, it's not an individual sport, right? James Tavernier, as much as you look at all those assists and you look at everything, you look at this captain thing, and I hit on it there about Richard Goff. Richard Goff had just talent after talent after talent. You can't say that about this Rangers team. They started off in the Championship, they're journeying up. Some of the players that played with Rangers, I'm sure a lot of Rangers fans out there thinking, should never have a Rangers jersey on. It was different times back then. But if you come in and you're in the Hall of Fame at a club the size of Rangers, I think you deserve to be called a legend.
I think probably if he wasn't captain, then it's not so much of a question. I think the fact that he's captain, he, like you're saying, he's the face of it. He's, when Rangers don't win, it's kind of, it's
the lightning rod for the criticism.
Yeah, but that's what comes with being a captain at clubs like Rangers and Celtic. It's not an easy thing. There's a reason. Generally, it's not something that gets changed around too much. And I think that's just one of the things that the weight of of being the captain at clubs like that, that's, you're going to be judged on what you win, how many leagues you win, how many more you win than Celtic, or if you're at Celtic, how many more you win than Rangers. And I think ultimately he has to, that's, again, like Gordon was saying as well, he's been rewarded by Rangers as well. He'll have made a lot of money from it all as well. So like, through all the debate about him and getting a testimonial, I think a testimonial now is more kind of a almost like a personal achievement thing. It's something you can't buy it at a club. It's earned. So I don't think it's really for a financial game, but I just think that's part of being a captain. If you win, it's brilliant. Then he'd probably be, if he'd won what Colin McGregor's won, he'd be probably spoken about the Rangers' greatest captain. He hasn't won near enough or as much. So I think that's probably what he's always going to get beaten with.
Thank you, Stuart. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. You have until 7 o'clock to get your calls in, 0141 951 1025, and you could take on Killian Sheridan or Gordon Diehl when we return.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Diehl and Killian Sheridan are here. Keep the calls coming in. It's been all about long-term servants in their contracts this week. James Tavernier not staying, announced yesterday, and James Forrest a new contract today. So give us your thoughts and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. How's the form?
Great.
Did you play Tuesday?
No, I played last week, Tuesday, Thursday, 6 points out of six.
It's been a controversial week. Andy Halliday even lost on Monday.
I was with him the day, wasn't happy.
Lashed out.
Tall,
he was lashing out at the question. Is he still on
about it? Oh, he's still on it.
About the questions?
Yeah, he's raging.
Yeah.
How's your form, big guy?
Did I lose the last one? I got beaten when I actually won.
That's right. Has Killian's record been amended? This is what we need to know, because on my sheet it says played 5, won 3, lost 2.
Yeah, that could be right.
No, so I think I lost the last one.
Which you think you didn't deserve to lose.
So
we need to. You've only lost once.
Yeah,
is that what we think?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
I think
there was a VAR check,
yeah.
And the contestant did get a point that you shouldn't have got.
That was a Sunday. That doesn't count.
No,
Sundays don't count, mate.
It does.
Sundays are just for fun.
Yeah, Fir Hill and Fir Park are
exactly.
Two different places.
Right, amend Killian's record. We've got to be accurate here. Sean is in Coatbridge. How's it going, Sean?
Not bad, Gordon, yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you. Have you ever played before?
No, I haven't.
Right, okay. Do you have a preference out of these two?
Be careful.
Be careful.
Hold on a minute.
That's all I'm saying.
He does seem like quite a intelligent guy.
Are you listening to him? Is your cans turned off when he's talking? Are you serious?
But he's into
fake it till you make it. That's,
yeah.
Well, that's true. Maybe I am falling into the trap. He's into weird stuff. That makes me think he's intelligent. If I just added two and two together.
He is really into weird stuff.
Yeah.
Different. Weird's a bit derogatory.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
You're into weird stuff as well, just a different type of weird.
Yeah, and they don't match up with him. Anyway, Sean, I'm hoping that it's me you get.
Anyway, blue side of the coin for weird Killian. And the red side for even weirder, quite frankly, Gordon Diehl. Let's do it.
Come
you ready?
On. Come
toss
on,
okay
Irene.
For you?
Killing. Oh, Sean. You've got an easy bye the night, son.
Well, I'm assuming the sweaty octopus has wrote the question, so we might be on.
Mate, how bad is he?
Oh, the questions were honking on Monday.
See, there's a bit. I think they're all passing the blame to each other about who
mate,
wrote it.
Mate, he is.
You ready?
Ridiculous.
Let's do it anyway.
Come on, Sean, all the best, mate.
Something else to listen
to.
Sean, you've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can. Pass if you do not know the answer. All right?
Yeah.
Let's go. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which Celtic manager gave James Forrest his debut?
Pass.
How many major domestic cups has James Tavernier won at Rangers?
Four.
What nationality is Hearts' Ocean McEntee?
Irish.
Which former Scotland and Chelsea player shares a name with a snooker world champion?
Clark.
What club connects Billy Dodds, Richard Goff and David Neary?
Rangers.
Name anyone nominated for this season's Championship Player of the Year.
Andy Todd.
Okay, let's bring him back. Killian, can you hear us?
Yep.
You're quite easy. Easy tonight. Yeah, I'll be disappointed.
Disagree.
If this big guy doesn't fire out answer after answer.
Let's leave the mind games alone for now. 30 seconds on the clock. Same set of questions. Your time starts now. Which Celtic manager gave James Forrest his debut?
Neil Lennon.
How many major domestic cups has James Tavernier won at Rangers?
4.
What nationality is Hearts' Ocean McEntee?
Irish.
Which former Scotland and Chelsea player shares a name with a snooker world champion?
Higgins.
Which club connects Billy Dodds, Richard Goff and David Neary?
Pass.
Dundee United.
Name anyone nominated for this season's Championship Player of the Year.
McPake.
Okay.
Snooker player must be Spencer.
Are you all right? Shouting out answers in the middle of Beat the Pundit now.
I'm trying to help him.
Seriously?
Surely Sean beat him.
Actually, I missed the start of it. I missed the start of the question, but I wouldn't have known anyway.
All of the questions? All right, the...
No, no, that...
the snooker one?
The Dundee United thing he shouted.
I think that's hard. You know your snooker.
Yeah, John Spencer.
Right, but that's. I think that's hard.
If you don't know your snooker...
I don't know any snooker player called Spencer.
John Spencer was a world champion. World championship. Way back in the 70s,
80s. Right, so hold on a second.
Hold on. Nobody ever heard the Pelly. When was Pelly the greatest player in the world?
That's not the point.
Are we back in the 60s?
I'm talking about... I think that's a hard question. So we're talking a snooker champion for the 70s and 80s. And I know him because he played for Motherwell, John Spencer.
Yeah, Chelsea as well.
Yeah, I know. But when you talk about Scotland, it's not like he's got 50-odd Scotland caps and he jumps out. I think that's a tough question. Let's go through them. Celtic manager who gave James Forrest his debut. Neil Lennon, a 4-0 win against Motherwell. He was only 18 and he scored... Yeah. 1-0 Killian Sheridan. How many major domestic cups has James Tavernier won? You both said 4. You were both wrong.
That's 5, isn't
it? It's only 2. One Scottish Cup, one
five
League
minus
Cup.
3. 5 minus 3.
Only one Scottish Cup, one League Cup. So none of you got it.
As well. 2.
I think there's a sort of nationality advantage here to Killian Sheridan. Ocean McEntee is Irish, but Sean.
Not only is he Irish, he's from the same county as me.
Is he?
Yeah, County Cavan.
Right, seriously.
That's ridiculous.
I know this keeps happening.
Ridiculous.
It's too easy for the pundits.
Exactly, Sean. Sean, I'm telling you, I think that's really unfair in you, mate.
And forgive my lack.
Sir John's at it, He knew I was calling.
Forgive my lack of knowledge. Is that a small part of the... is it like rare that...
It's not a... Football? It's not a footballing stronghold, no. County Cavan, no. There's myself... Oisin McEntee and I can't remember his name. Was it Hibs midfielder?
Jamie McGrath?
No. He went over to Ireland. I'm going to remember it before the end.
To be fair, you're right about it. Wasn't a real football
place. Played for St Mirren as well. Was it that
from
guy?
Aston Villa? Came up from Aston Villa on loan.
What have you done to me? Why are we doing this?
St Mirren potentially.
This is the worst. Who am?
Signed for Hibs, central midfielder.
This is terrible.
I was talking to him about a year ago.
Anyway,
what did you call him?
So what's the not a football stronghold, more what you played Gaelic football, didn't you?
Yeah.
By the way,
so the town he's from, like small
Jake
towns,
Doyle Hayes.
Jake Doyle Hayes.
Yeah. Thanks to the producer, he told me. I couldn't remember. I knew
you
Jake something.
Gaelic football as well.
Yeah,
he was good.
That was my first sport.
Was it, mate?
Yeah.
Why did you get into football when you knew that Gaelic football was probably better for you?
Because it's amateur.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Alright,
okay. By the way, I've got a video feature forming in my head. He takes you to play Gaelic football once you get your hips sorted.
That's just sticking the ball, isn't it?
That's no. Gaelic football's the other one with Gaelic? The hands.
Oh, it's like rugby.
Yeah, like a cross between rugby and football. You punch soccer.
The one with the stick and the ball.
Right, yeah. Okay. Sorry, I was getting the wrong one.
Anyway, 2-1 to Killian. The former, as we've kind of spoiler alert here, John Spencer, former Scotland and Chelsea player who shares his name with a snooker world champion. Still 2-1 to Killian. The club that connects Billy Dodds, Richard Goff and David Neary is Dundee United.
Wouldn't have got it.
Would you not?
No.
What part is...
Anything before I came over to Scotland. Scottish football's nothing.
You don't know who David Neary is?
I've heard of him, yeah.
But every one of them played for Dundee United way back.
In fact, met Jim Leighton yesterday.
Who did he play for?
Aberdeen.
There you go.
Name anyone nominated for this season's Championship Player of the Year. You had the choice of Jamie Gullen, Ben Stanway, Josh McPaik and Andrew Todd. So you both got it right, which means a 3-2 win for Killian Sheridan.
That's ridiculous, because you only won because of his family roots.
Well, I mean, the name Oisin.
Hold on. But Sean got that question right.
Oh, did you? Did you get that one right as well, Sean?
Well, was that, sorry?
Oisin McEntee.
Yeah, I said Irish.
He sounds pretty Irish, right, for what it's worth.
I never have went Irish.
Seriously?
I would never.
What would you have? Oisin McEntee?
I don't know. I probably.
What ones did I get right?
That's a giveaway, surely.
Neil Lennon.
What did I get right that he got wrong?
Neil Lennon. He didn't get it, the first one.
He's a Celtic fan manager. As well.
Did he not get the. I'm maybe doing myself in here. Did he not get the Dundee United?
No.
Ah, okay. Sorry, I thought he did.
No, did not. So there you go.
I wouldn't have
tried my best for you there, Sean.
I'd love to have heard you. Oisin McEntee, what would you have said?
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
I would have said he's from Malta or somewhere.
What? Shut up. What do you mean? Malta?
Malta, aye. Ugh. Maltesian. If you're from Malta, you're a Maltesian, aren't you?
Just stop. Oh. Right, this is.
What are you?
Sean, who's your team?
Teaser.
I'm from Coatbridge, so I support my local Albion Rovers.
Oh, right,
I'm a Celtic
fan,
but I'm a Celtic fan as well.
What's Albion Rovers' season been like?
Very topsy turvy. But if you go last six games, they were, I think, third or fourth on form. So it was a wee late push for mid table.
Sean, who's the manager now at Albion Rovers?
Sandy Clark.
Yeah. Sandy still there?
That's some positive spin that for Sean, isn't it? In the last six games, we were one of the teams in form and we nearly made mid-table. Sean, that's brilliant. I like that polishing from you. Sean in Coatbridge, thank you, but it was a victory for Killian Sheridan on Beat the Pundit. Oisin McEntee, there we go. Keep the calls coming in, 01419511025. Danny is on the line. Hi, Danny.
Hello.
What's your point tonight, Danny?
I'd just like to speak about James Tavernier not getting a new deal at Rangers, James Forrest getting one at Celtic, because James Tavernier's got more goals than assists, I think, than James Forrest has, and he's not what many world-class elite managers like James Forrest has.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can make the positive case for James Tavernier without sort of, you know, taking away what James Forrest's done. We know he's been in a better team and that's led to more trophies, but he hasn't had the individual output James Tavernier has. That's the thing about...
You're playing better players in that round about you, but you would have more goals and assists than a right back.
But not...
Danny, you're saying that he should have got a contract?
I thought the whole point here, Danny, if you're a Rangers fan, the whole point to bum up James Tavernier is to talk about how freakish his numbers are. So actually, sort of criticising James Forrest for not scoring as many is kind of defeats the point, though.
Because one got a new deal and one didn't.
But it's totally different.
I think they're totally different
circumstances, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think James Tavernier is a few years older than James Forrest, I think. Yeah,
No.
Tavernier's 34. Which Forrest? With 34?
Similar,
well?
Yeah.
I think it'd be quite simple if you break it down, right? I think that both players, if they'd have stayed, well, obviously Forrest is staying, they'll be squad players. Forrest will definitely be a squad player at Celtic. There's no doubt, and I think in James's mind, he's quite happy to do that. I don't know if Tavernier, if you'd have sat down with Tavernier and said, look, we'll extend your contract, but let me tell you, you're not going to be first choice, you're not going to be the captain of the club, we're going to move forward, you're going to be a squad player, you will be used, what's your thoughts? And I think Tavernier would look at that situation and think, no, I've still got plenty of game time in me as a number one pick, as a right back elsewhere.
I think also the money offered would be significantly less as well. Maybe he wanted more, a longer contract, I would imagine.
But is James Forrest at this stage takes a year?
I think James Forrest knows where he's at. They're in two different positions, not on the field, but like in terms of their stature at the clubs.
But that's the thing in praise of James Tavernier, the 562 appearances, 144 goals, 148 assists. So he's got a goal contribution in the modern terminology. Better than one in every two games.
Yeah.
That they're up. Forget James Forrest. Loads of wingers would be absolutely delighted with that return.
I'd love to flip it and wonder what James Tavernier would have achieved playing in the Celtic team that has dominated for so long. And that's why I give James Tavernier all the credit in the world, right? His numbers are absolutely brilliant. The counter-attack against me will be always give away so many goals, and Maeda used to give him my headaches or whatever. Tell me a right back that doesn't give away goals. Tell me a right back that, you know, doesn't make mistakes. Everybody does. His numbers have been absolutely brilliant. And let's be honest, he's not played in great Rangers teams throughout his career. But what he's contributed, I think, I think once he's away, I think the Rangers fans after a while will sit back and think, maybe we chased him out the door too early.
Would you have kept him, Danny?
I'd definitely give him another year's deal just based on his stats previous years.
How will he be remembered then? What's the, you know, earlier on someone was talking about he's a Rangers legend. Is that the way you see it?
Definitely. Why would he not be a legend? Is it based on how many trophies he's won?
It's just a purely subjective thing. It wasn't a loaded question. Some people maybe do look more at trophy hauls.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, I always think maybe a legend needs to have sort of done something that other people haven't. And therefore you could say, well, James Tavernier is the British football's highest ever scoring defender. You know, did it all whilst at Rangers. That makes him a legend. I don't care either way, really.
And I'll answer as well. My opinion's quite simple. I think that if you play with a club the size of Rangers and you play with a club the size of Celtic and you're in the Hall of Fame for your appearances and everything you've achieved, I think you deserve that legend status next to you.
You in the Raith Rovers Hall of Fame?
Yes, twice.
That's a daft question.
I think generally appearances is generally a gauge or a qualifying factor for players being defined as legends.
So yes, that's a good point, just that longevity.
There's very few players who have over 500 appearances at a club and aren't deemed to be a legend. I know Danny was saying he'd give him another year, but would you give him another year knowing that he's potentially the top earner?
Yeah, what about that, Danny?
He'd be prepared to take a wage cut. Maybe I'd give him another year. Maybe we should play him in the wing.
Oh, I thought we'd... You know, it's been a real sort of theme of James Tavernier's career here that people are still trying to get him moved position right up to the end.
Do you know why?
That ship sailed, surely.
Do you know why I'd have kept him, right? I think he can still produce, right? I still think he's fit. There's a couple of reasons I would have kept him as a squad player if I could have. One, he's very seldom injured, right? And he now, for me, can play a couple of other positions. If Rangers go to a back three, he can get in there and play right centre back. No problem at all. We've seen him doing it and he looks comfortable. He can play right back. He could probably go and sit in front of your back men if you had a problem. I think he would be a reliable player to have in your squad. But obviously, I wouldn't pay him the top dollar because he's not going to play every week. We know that. He doesn't do it just now.
Is that just what happens when you're the main man or one of them, Scott Brown or whatever at Celtic? You don't just go from that to bit part to being... Yeah, wages halved in two or whatever, like a 1 year extension, wage halved in two, not starting the game. And I don't know if he's, that was just hypothetical about the wage. Those guys can't do that, can they? It's just not really the done thing.
The other side of it is if he's staying on, and we can kind of see already how his playing time has been reduced. Danny Rowe won't want him coming in next season knowing that my captain isn't my starting right back, so that's going to that would raise another issue where he's probably wanting his captain to be on the pitch every week. So that's would be another big thing where it's going to be right. He's lost the captaincy now.
I think that conversation. I keep saying it. That was the way that I looked upon it. If you sit down and look him straight in the eye and say, "Here we are, we're moving on. I'm looking for another captain. You're not going to play every week. We need to look at your wage situation. Are you happy to stay at the club?" Obviously he's not.
Thank you, Danny. 01419511025. That's the number. Why not jump on board right now? And we'll speak to you next.
The world's biggest music quiz for Cash for Kids Day.
Right, it is 1 week today, the world's biggest music quiz. That's the one Anton Dekker hosting, so you really should get involved in that. Thursday the 30th of April, 1pm. And since it's Cash for Kids Day, we're putting on our own quiz night. That's the night before next Wednesday. You can come along and take part. That one's in person. You get to see George and Cassie hosting it. You get to win some brilliant prizes thanks to our sponsors, Cairnhill Structures. Prizes are really good. Tickets to Transmit, £1,000 in cash. Lots happening there, and it's Glasgow's Big Bad Music Quiz at the Barra's Art and Design Centre. Here is a type of question you can expect for Killian, apparently. I didn't know this was coming. This is Killian's question. Which English DJ released the track Right Here, Right Now in 1999?
Fatboy Slim.
There you go. And for Gordon Dale, which musician covered the song If I Never Sing Another Song in 1980?
Joe Longthorne.
You know what you two are into. Every ticket sold supports Cash for Kids. It makes a real difference. So get a team together. Clyde1.com. We'll see you a week today, 29th of April, at Glasgow's Big Bad Music Quiz with Cairnhill Structures.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Killian Sheridan is here alongside Gordon DL. It's 0141 951 1025. If you'd like to join in, please do. Still loads of time to get your thoughts on James Forrest or James Tavernier or anything else that you want to discuss. We flirted with it on Beat the Pundit there. What about the Championship Player of the Year nominees? Any Partick Thistle fans out there? You've got Ben Stanway in there, and I suppose St Johnston bound to be represented, given that they won the league, one from Dunfermline as well. If you have any thoughts there, maybe you could give us your early thoughts on who the four players to make the Premiership shortlist will be, because that's announced on, I think it's Monday, it's the start of next week or next week at some point. We've already had the team of the year, so there's some clues in there, and maybe you could give us a call and tell us what you think the four man shortlist will be for the Player of the Year. Let us know. What else to tell you about this?
The full-time teaser with Arkiplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Ever been to Ullapool?
Where?
Ullapool.
Yeah, I think I have.
Donald is in Ullapool and he sent this question in to you. I just thought I'd inquire.
Is it in Scotland?
Yes.
Yeah, I know it is.
Donald, thank you very much for sending it in. It's a very similar theme to last night, but it works all the same. Can you name the nine players James Forrest has played the most games with at Celtic? Can you name the nine players James Forrest has played the most games with at Celtic? Scott Brown, 332 times. Yes.
McGregor must be there.
334 times.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
You going to leave any for Killian, or are you just shouting them all out yourself? Or
no, I just shouted out the two that I knew quickly.
The two easiest ones.
The two easiest ones.
Kieran Tierney?
Yeah, 168 times. Well done.
So I was thinking I was giving you a nudge.
Go for one more guess then, and we can move on.
Right, okay. Somebody that's obviously...
Club?
They're all going to be...
Nah, it's not really going to make a difference.
No. He's not got that many Scotland caps. So.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, it's not as easy as it was at the start, is it? When you take out the two.
Lustig.
By the way, that's a wonderful shout, because do you know he's third on the list?
There you go.
Behind McGregor and Brown. Well done. Okay, let's leave it there. Mikael Lustig has played with James Forrest 181 times. Phil is in Bishopton. How are you, Phil?
I'm fine, thanks, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. What made you call tonight, Phil?
It was actually a phone call you got on Tuesday from a guy called Stephen in Loughlin, a Rangers fan, fellow Rangers fan. Mm-hmm. And I think that he was a guy that was saying Carlos Costa's more goals.
Yeah.
Right. That kind of nonsense sticks in my head. So I just wanted to phone up and say, first of all, a big thank you to Mark Warburton for bringing James Tavernier to the club. For £200,000, the return has been fantastic. And I think, not to disparage any other Rangers captains over the years, you know, Goff, Amoruso, John Gregg, but I think it's maybe a wee bit easier when you've got fantastic players around about you to be a successful captain. And I think Tav, over the time he spent with us during some of the darkest days of the club, he's had to put up with players who found the jersey too big, quite frankly, some dodgy managers and some boards that weren't interested in investing the club and taking the club forward. And I just think Rangers fans generally owe Tav a big thank you for that.
So seeing and I'm taking what you're saying to maybe the extreme here, Phil, but for all this debate, for all these people who think that James Tavernier hasn't been good enough or didn't step up enough, is there actually a case to say that he was let down by Rangers over that period rather than the other way around?
I think so. Certain aspects of Rangers, like probably more the board, excuse me, than anything, or some of the boards that we've had, some of the investors and owners that we've had over the past 14 years.
Because, Gordon, I suppose then if you look at it, that if that old kind of cliche, if Rangers had 11 James Taverniers or 11 players in their own position operating at the level James Tavernier was, they would have won things, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
They would have won a lot more.
Yeah, I agree with everything Phil says. I think he's spot on the money. I know that a lot of Rangers fans will disagree with us, which is fine because they go and watch him, and there's a lot of people out there that aren't as big as fans as Tavernier is, probably Phil and myself. I think he's done an incredible job for Rangers. I think he deserves a really good send away. I hope the fans, and I think they will, especially his last game or his appearance or whatever it may be at Ibrox, I think he deserves that for what he's achieved. And I think you're right about, you know, if you play with Rangers and you're a captain, you take on some responsibility because everybody's there waiting to shoot you down with the Barry Fergusons, Amarussos, the John Greggs, the Richard Goffs, brilliant leaders, great captains in their own right. But Phil's right on the money with the fact that it was a different era then, and the managers were completely different as well. And playing with the sort of players that the Richard Goff, the Fergusons, Amarussos and everything played with are completely, completely different to what Tavernier's had to play with
maybe
the years.
We here, or I don't know if it's a Glasgow thing, a Scottish football thing, whatever it is, Killian, but do we make too much then of captaincy and what it is? I can't remember if it's the caller Phil was referring to, but there was a caller the other night who actually went as far as to say that if Rangers had kept the exact teams that they had throughout the years, but just changed the captain, just gave it to somebody else, that they would have won stuff. And I found that really, really hard to understand. It can't be that important that James Tavernier wearing the armband was so detrimental that if he just handed it over to somebody else in the team, this subpar team suddenly goes and wins the league.
No, I don't think so. I think possibly if it was a different position, if it was maybe like a centre mid that can kind of like grab a game and control it, whereas from right back, I don't think that is as big of an issue.
But the Rangers teams that haven't won the leagues, is it not just because they've just not been as good as the team that has won it? Mostly, well, always Celtic.
I mean, I feel like there's times they've been in positions to go and do it, mm-hmm, and haven't, and have fallen at that. But I think for James Tavernier, like if you look at pretty much every manager, bar maybe Russell Martin for a little bit, every manager has come in and kept him as captain. And like, on the captain thing, it's what you're saying there is, although it's not as big of an impact, maybe like in terms of winning a game, I've won the game because I'm the captain. It's more to do with, like, we put such an emphasis on it because of instances like this where everything that Rangers' failures are projected onto him because he's the captain.
That chicken and egg thing, then.
I think that's why it's such a big thing, being the captain. Like, you, when you're winning things, great. You're the captain that delivered, that drove to win, however many titles. But if you're the captain that didn't win titles, then it's kind of burdened on you.
I wonder how he would feel. Maybe we'll get the chance to ask him one day. How he would feel hypothetically if he'd been at Rangers for 11 years and not been the captain. Now, clearly there is a case to say, no, it's a great honour, it's a wonderful privilege, led this club and led them out. But he would be, so much of this criticism wouldn't be there.
100%.
So, I'm not accusing James Tavernier of lying, far from it, but it's probably the type of thing he could never admit. But I'd love to know deep, deep, deep down if he thinks life would have been easier if he just came, played, scored, assisted, and then didn't have to get all the flack that's coming his way.
I can't agree with you anymore. I do believe that.
So you don't think the kind of honour and the privilege outweighs that?
I think he'll look back and say, look, it has been a great honour, and the fact that, okay, he comes in for a wee bit of criticism, but This, he's never a Rangers captain. He's been branded with that for years upon years. No matter what kind of season he's had with his numbers and goals and everything that he's achieved, it always comes back to he's never a Rangers captain. And I think James Tavernier would obviously be very honoured that he has been the captain for so long. But I take on board what your point is. If he hadn't been the captain, it was somebody else, and he just went in there and played as his right back and had those numbers, I think every Rangers fan would be going, what an incredible servant this guy's been.
Phil, what do you make of the timing and the way it sort of came out and stuff like that? Phil, can you hear us?
Aye, sorry.
No, it's all right. Just wondering what you made of it. You know, the announcement yesterday, he decided, presumably, to put it on social media, five games to go. What do you make of it?
I think he was told he wouldn't be getting starting next year. He'd be very much a backup, as he's been for the last part of this season. And I think Tav feels he's got still a lot to contribute to somebody somewhere. And I don't think the guy will be short of offers come the summer. So I think there's been a discussion, and I think Tav's decided, no, I want to go and still keep playing football as much as I can. So there you are. Can I just finish with a wee analogy here?
Sure.
If you don't mind. I'm not a deeply religious person by any manner of means, but Tav has led us through some bad times. I think Rangers are on the brink of a new era now. Brilliant investors, owners, a brilliant young manager, and Tav's led us up to this point, and like Moses, he's never going to see the promised land of flags and trophies. So I'll finish with that one.
Phil, I can't believe you've just expected me to put a biblical analogy to Gordon Dalziel. Seriously, right, I've had many tests
I'm loving
on
that.
This show, but no,
never see the
I don't
promised
trust
land.
You.
No,
this conversation could go awry.
I think that's one for a big guy sitting next to me.
Killian, you can decline to comment if you so wish. His face is all.
No, do you know the first thing? It's this. I've done it before, but I just think of memes in my head.
Going in.
You know the Dylan White one. It's like
it's a weird analogy.
That's a bit of a weird analogy.
Does memes just circle around your head at all times?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever seen that Dylan White?
No.
The problem is he can't explain.
What Dylan White is?
No.
The other boy says something outlandish.
He can't explain what it is that he replies to say that it's a weird analogy, because this is a family show. Do what we always do when you try and explain a meme to Gordon Dalziel. Show him at this break, will you? Thank you very much to Phil, who introduced Moses to the discussion about James Tavernier. Not what I was expecting. That's the beauty of live radio. 01419511025. We will speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
That's us in the final part already. Killian Sheridan and Gordon Dalziel are here. And yes, they spent the break with Killian Sheridan trying to explain his Dylan White meme to Gordon Dalziel. You going to use that one?
Yeah.
Laxatives.
Yeah.
Never mind. How about your teaser? Can you name the nine players James Forrest has played the most games with at Celtic? Callum McGregor, Scott Brown, Mikael Lustig and Kieran Tierney. You're all doing pretty well.
Is Tony Ralston one?
He's not.
Okay.
Fraser Forster?
He is 149.
All right.
Joe Ledley?
Any more?
Joe Ledley?
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear that. Joe Ledley is not on the list.
Chris Commons?
Chris Commons also not. You're slowing down a bit.
Yeah, certainly are.
I'm not impressed here.
Not impressed myself.
No. Anymore? Silence doesn't work well on radio, remember?
No, silence is not golden.
Okay, I'll give you more thinking time. Just a quick mention, a quick hello again to our new podcast sponsor, White Mackay, triple matured whiskey, crafted on the Clyde, and like Super Scoreboard, although proudly from Glasgow, celebrated and recognised everywhere. If you ever miss the show, you can always catch up on the Rayo app or wherever you get your podcast. So check out the Super Scoreboard podcast, proudly sponsored by White and Mackay, triple matured whiskey, a proper Scotch whiskey for proper football chat. WhiteandMackay.com for more, and always drink responsibly. Any more in the last 30 seconds? No.
Ayer?
Oh,
no.
He's not far off, but no. He's not. No. Let's hear a bit from Neil McCann, shall we? Looking forward to the bottom six and seeing who ends up and who avoids that relegation playoff spot. The Kilmarnock manager's feeling in good spirits.
We're going to need to go full throttle for the last five games, so I look at it as maybe a positive to give the boys a couple of days off. Spent a bit of time together, which is great. I wouldn't accept anybody going about with their face tripping them. We're in a right good place, I believe, in terms of the morale, spirit in the dressing room. I think we've shown in games that we're very much together. We understand what's going on. We're not stupid. But as I said, I think in reflection, when you look at the time since we've been in, it's always been pretty positive.
I want you to stick your neck on the line here. Five games to go.
Yep.
You've been asked every night about who's going to win the league.
Yep.
Who's finishing 11th?
I think Kilmarnock's away record doesn't help them. I think if you're going to pick one game to go and play, a team right now is Aberdeen. I know they got a result against Hibs, but it was 10 men. I think Aberdeen are struggling a little bit. I think that St Mirren and Kilmarnock are the two that will fight out for the 11th spot.
So which one then?
Then you pick one.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go and stick my neck out and say it'll be Kilmarnock.
Stick your neck out, the team that's already in 11th place.
Yeah, but everybody fancy. And I think Neil and Billy's went in there and changed it about a little bit. I think their away record is the thing that I'm going against. I fancied St Mirren to be in 11th, but I think that they've showed now under new leadership, they've got something about them. A good team spirit as well. You've seen that at the weekend. Everybody thought when Ralston scored just before half time that was a cup tie over. They come flying back, and obviously Celtic went on, won it comfortably in extra time. But I just think St Mirren have got a little bit of edge about them now. So I'm just going to go way record because of the situation, Kilmarnock.
I'm being unnecessarily harsh and trying to pin him down, Killian, because it's clearly very tough and how things change. People said, St Mirren are the ones that are away, but then Stephen Robinson left, they look like they play slightly differently now, they've had some encouraging performances. Kelly have shown definitely what they're capable of, and among some bad results again, people kept saying, oh, now it's Aberdeen to watch, they're the ones dropping like a stone, but they get a win. I feel like Dundee are the only ones that haven't had any real stick.
Can underrate that, aren't they?
I think Dundee do okay because they'll go,
they've got good players as well.
They're going a little bad run and then they'll get a little good bit of form that just kind of just keeps them floating above it all. I think it'll be St Mirren. I kind of see, just for the excitement, I'd like it to be Aberdeen, just for the,
just because you're like
the story
twisted, the big club, it's just a big thing. Failure.
But who do you think it'll be?
St Mirren.
St Mirren?
Yeah.
Because we've spent a look at some of the results Dundee have had, and they've been good. Mm-hmm. And you know, even on the eye, and you look at some, I feel like they've got some really good players. If you go Luke Graham and Ethan Hamilton, Yogan Congreve, Simon Murray's still there, bit of a different role. But they're right in the middle of it, and I don't feel like anyone mentions them. I feel like people mention Killy because they're in it. Mm-hmm. People were mentioning St Mirren, and then they're the closest to it. And a bit like Killy, and people are sort of looking at Aberdeen and how dramatic that would be. But the arithmetic tells you Dundee are right in there. Why does no one think they're
I just think, you know, you look at Dundee and you think, right, they've got the potential to get it because they do put in some good performances and results. I'm not ruling Dundee out. It's a massive weekend because if Aberdeen had to win their home game against Kilmarnock, you can safely put them out of the equation. They're safe. They're not going to get caught. Dundee playing a derby. St Mirren play a team that, you know, is basically relegated. So, like the top six, the bottom six, intriguing. It's going to be nervous times for our next five games. But I think we'll be talking about it week in, week out until it's finally decided. But I just think because of the away record, I think Killian might just struggle.
I don't think Dundee have ever been on such a bad run all season where everyone's like, God, they're terrible.
I think it was maybe the start, wasn't it? And then they improved. Maybe that's why. Maybe they're bad.
Because all the noise, all the noise over Stephen Presley coming in was kind of like, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, that's kind of them done. And it's they've been pretty, probably just surprising all season, people.
And then said the word jobby about his team, which sort of distracted everybody. as well. I've liked him. I think he's been good value.
I think he's been brilliant. You know, he did. He came under a lot of stick. People didn't want him. I don't know. I don't think his first interview went down well with a lot of supporters. But the one thing about him, he's honest. He's up front. He comes out and he faces the music. And he's got his team doing okay, but I still think they need a couple of wins just to keep them away from that 11th spot.
See, when he came out at the beginning and done that interview, he was like too honest. But I like that he just kept doing that all season. He hasn't really changed what he says. Like, he doesn't really care if he becomes a soundbite or anything.
He's clearly just been unapologetically himself, which I think is good in any walk of life. It's always nice to see people who do that because lots of people don't. And you think even after big wins, he admits he's not really enjoying it. It's kind of stressful, all that sort of thing.
I think I've liked him. I think what the reason I think they'll be okay is I've got a funny feeling what I've heard is the players like him as well.
Yeah.
They like his attitude. And when you've got that combination, and Dundee have got one or two real good players up there. But I keep saying it, it's now the nervy side of the league now with five games to go. They need a couple of wins. It could be brilliant for them at the weekend, beating their local rivals, Dundee United. I think that'll be a cracker. But I'm just looking, I keep going back to it, St Mirren's away. If Mannock can get their away record going, then I think all of a sudden it brings everybody back into the mix.
See, just before we let you go, just out of curiosity, because I think it's the start of next week, it gets announced. We are going to hear from Martin O'Neill tomorrow and Danny Rule, and everybody will be getting worked up at the weekend's games and so on. So, whilst I've got you, who do you think the four-man shortlist will be? Predict it for the Premiership Player of the Year. You've had a clue in the team.
Just of Motherwell.
Okay.
Braga of Hearts.
Okay.
Mashwanisi of Motherwell. And I'm going for Negrin of Celtic.
I'm the exact same.
Seriously?
You can't... Listen, I don't think he's been brilliant, right? But for a midfield player to bag, what, he's 20 goals just now? That's very good going for a midfield player. And I think, as I say, I don't think his overall play has been exceptional. But the important goals and 20 goals from the Midland Park, I think you've got to be looking at him.
I think in a season where no one has really been exceptional and a clear standout, and you're maybe struggling, you just kind of look at the stats and the goals and then it's hard to ignore him.
I think that's clearly why he's in Team of the Year, so I wasn't surprised to see that at all. But do you think he honestly makes it into the four best players in the league this season?
I'm saying Matt Archer, I would pick as my four, because I think that his performances haven't been great. You don't look up and think, oh, if he's missing, but his goal return from the middle of the park for Celtic, who have really been poor and underachieved at times this season, and that's why they're sitting third in the league. I think for a midfield player to bag you 20 goals just now, I think you deserve to be up there.
Stats is one thing, obviously eye test is another, and so on. There's no right or wrong, I'm just testing you since you're both agreeing. Has he had a better season than Lauren Shankland? I know he scored more goals, right? I get that,
right,
obviously.
And that's the reason I'm putting him in. I think if a midfield player scores 20 goals, he deserves to be there.
Has he had a better... Do you feel like he's had a better season than Lauren Shankland? Or Craig Halkett?
Yeah,
he's
been fitter than Shankland, which...
Look, there's an argument there. Mm-hmm. You look at that team, right? There's an argument there for Shankland, who I think is brilliant with Braga up top. But I just think Braga this season, especially when Shankland was injured, he's been sensational for Hearts. He deserves to be in there.
The boy, Braga and Mashwanisi,
scoring the goals,
they are nailed on in the top four. It feels that way. Anyway.
And the lad just is, he has been brilliant for Motherwell. He deserves it and merit. I'm only going with Negrin because of his goals. I'm not going with his performances. I just think if you bang 20 goals in so far this season, you deserve to be in.
If Shankland was fit all season, He'd probably be there. Okay. But
right, we need more on the teaser. Nine players James Forrest played the most with at Celtic: McGregor, Brown, Lustig, Tierney, Forster. Ooh, still four to get.
Craig Gordon?
Yes.
Stuart Armstrong?
Nope.
We need clues, don't say.
Maeda?
No. So all back a little bit.
Back at no the present?
No.
Right, back a little bit. How far back we gone?
So, yeah, the kind of...
Steve McManus?
No, after that. What about a central midfielder filled in at the back sometimes? The fact that he
Beaton.
Yep. What about a famous Australian?
Rogic.
one of your favourites.
How did I not get Tommy?
Tam.
And left back.
Who played left back for Celtic? No, Walshon.
No, don't be silly.
Left back.
From Honduras.
Aziguiri.
Aziguiri. Thank you, Killian. Thank you, Gordon. And thank you for your calls, your tweets, your messages, your company. We'll do it all again tomorrow from 6 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.